pray before we begin to look at God's word. Father God, you see each one of us in this space today. You saw each one of us before we were born. You created us, you have a plan for us. We thank you that Jesus came into this world to seek and to save us. So I pray today as we open your word that we will allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, that we will hear what you have to say for us, that we will recognize your voice speaking to us. Amen. This morning when I woke up, there were a couple of news items that I read, one I read and one I heard, that were a little bit confronting. And I just want you not to necessarily have a discussion with the people next to you right now, but just have a think about how you feel about these particular news items. So, one very big news that Ivan Milat had passed away today. And there was a lot of opinion about that on the news this morning. A lot of words spoken. So I don't know whether you've actually thought or spoken about that today. But just let that sit with you for a moment. How do you feel if you hadn't heard that news earlier today? How do you feel? What do you think? For those, I'm pretty sure all of us know, Ivan Milat has been labelled as Australia's worst serial killer. That's his label. Another news feed that I read was about a woman's body being found in Spain, and it is believed that she had been in her house or apartment for 15 years. Her body had been in the house. Sorry, I should clarify that. Had been in the house for 15 years. And neighbours said that they could smell something, but after a few weeks, the smell went away. So they assumed that this woman had gone on a holiday. 15 years later, she's found. How does that sit with you? What do you think or feel about that? It's really important that we do actually pay attention to the world. But it's also very important that our responses to the world are measured by God, by Jesus, by the Bible. Now, I say that because it caused me to think a little bit today, and I'm always a bit challenged when I have the privilege of preparing for speaking God's word, that I might have some preconceived ideas. And perhaps that God's word doesn't actually speak everything to me that is possible because I'm a bit preconceived in my ideas, or I'm just quickly reading this word for some information, reading God's word for information, and not getting the purpose that God's word is for transformation. The reason why I'm saying all of this is because in today's reading, we actually see that Jesus' mission, why he came to earth, was found in the very last verse, Luke 19, verse 10, that he came to seek and to save the lost. So if I have that phrase, that is Jesus' mission, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, so should I not have the same mission? Now, I do understand that it's not my ability to save somebody, but it is within my ability to introduce somebody to Jesus Christ, who will save them if they choose to be saved. So if I am a follower of Jesus Christ and his mission is to seek and to save the lost, that should be my mission as well. Therefore, when I read or hear about news items, today, Ivan Milat, I heard this sentence, and I'm not sure I don't know if I've got it all right, but somebody did say, even if you were the greatest Christian, you couldn't not say that he got what he deserved. That was one sentence that I heard today. I think about the lady in Madrid who for 15 years, nobody missed her. Would I be more inclined to be more feeling towards this person? Because I don't know what her history was. I've only heard the part of her life where she was not missed for 15 years. I know this. I know Ivan Milat's story. I don't like that behavior. I abhor that behavior. But can I, as a Christian, say that Jesus came for her, but Ivan Milat got what he deserved? I think it's really important that we measure our responses by Jesus Christ. If the mission statement of Jesus Christ is that he came to seek and save the lost, I'm a follower, I'm a disciple, that is my mission too. They're my thoughts. I'm not saying that they have to be your thoughts. That actually was not the introduction that I had written for this sermon. It all changed when I woke up this morning and heard the news. Because we are God's people on mission. Our core is about the mission of God. The Salvation Army, we got a really important word in the title of our movement, salvation. I believe salvation comes from Jesus who came to seek and save the lost. So we just really need to be paying attention to do other lost. How do we feel about the lost? Ivan Milat was the lost. This lady was lost. I believe Jesus came to seek both of them, regardless of what they had done. He came for them and he loves them. So we have to just pay attention when we are out there in the world. And maybe we judge people. Maybe we label people. Maybe we're more inclined to go after certain people than we are other people. But there is no measurement in God's toolbox, no measuring tape. He goes after the lost. And I want to say that at one time, or maybe two or three or four or five times, or maybe more, I have been lost. You've been lost. Maybe you're lost right now. And maybe you don't even know that. It was lovely to see Dot here today, who has not been here for a long time due to her health. I said to Dot when I saw her, "It's lovely to see you." And her answer back to me was, "It's lovely to be seen." And I said, "I could use that in my sermon today, so thank you, Dot, for that." That's the truth, isn't it? It is lovely to be seen by people. Now, I don't mean that you're out there performing and somebody sees you and says how great you are. But just the fact that somebody sees you, that sees beyond who you really are, sees right deep inside to your heart, and they speak to your heart by the way they act and treat you, by the words that they say. Zacchaeus, he was seen. He was seen by a few groups of people. I want you to open up your Bible to Luke chapter 19. Now let's have a look at who saw Zacchaeus and what they actually saw. So Luke 19, when you said the Bible, the page reference frame, I tried to remember in my head, I think you said 1098. Thank you. See, there we go. Sometimes things stay. So 1098, if you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles around you. Let's actually look at God's Word. And let's see what people saw, or what two groups of people saw in Zacchaeus. There was a large crowd there that day who had come to see Jesus. His reputation went ahead of him, and people wanted to see this Messiah. They wanted to see this man who was friends of people, or who befriended people that some people thought he shouldn't befriend. There were religious leaders who wanted to see this Jesus, who wanted to poke holes in his theology because he was doing things differently to what they believed should happen. So Zacchaeus is part of a crowd, and people saw him as a chief tax collector. That's how he's first introduced to us, as a chief tax collector. When people knew that about him, they actually disliked him quite a lot. Now, we won't get into taxes or whether we've got to make sure our taxes are done within probably the next 3 days now. It was 4 days yesterday, the next 3 days. We all have opinions about taxes, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. They saw him as a chief tax collector and they despised him. Why? Because he actually worked with the enemy. He worked with Rome, who was imposing the taxes on the Jewish people. So he was asking them to pay money, he's a Jew himself, asking them to pay money to the enemy. Now the drama for Zacchaeus is that he was a chief tax collector. So he was actually the head of other tax collectors. And unfortunately, as a tax collector, Rome, if they got their money, they were happy. They didn't really care about what the tax collectors taxed. They could tax all sorts of things. As long as Rome got what they were supposed to get, the tax collector was free to tax people any which way they wanted to get money for themselves, and people had to pay it. Obviously, Zacchaeus was very good at getting people to pay money or making them pay money because he was quite wealthy. So Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He's a chief tax collector. He's quite wealthy. That's who people saw, and that's who people disliked. And maybe you might say, rightly so. I'm not going to say rightly so. Zacchaeus did what he did. People didn't like it, so they ostracized him. He actually couldn't even go to worship. As a Jewish man, he could not go to worship because he was considered unclean, because he robbed people in taking more than he should. So he's living an isolated, lonely life. You might say, serves him right. I don't say that. He was living this life. The next thing that we learn about Zacchaeus and the next label that is given to him is that he was a short man. And if you remember singing in Sunday school, now Zacchaeus was a little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed into a... for he wanted the Lord to see. So we've sung that, many of us, and if you've not sung that, I'm sure you can Google it. I'm sure it's going to come up on some website somewhere. So Zacchaeus is smaller than the average person. That's what I think, because it was made mention of in here. So he wasn't just the height of all other men, he was smaller. Zacchaeus is in the crowd that day, not just because. He's actually there with the purpose that he wants to see Jesus. He has heard about Jesus. Maybe he's even heard that one of his disciples was a tax collector, Matthew. Maybe he's wanting to see who this Jesus was, and how could he have a tax collector as one of his disciples. Struggled to see over the crowd, heard the story, Scott Nelly wiped all the kids out with his measuring tape and cut their heads off. Because it's very sharp. But he climbs up into the tree because he wants to see Jesus. That says to me that he's curious, he's interested, and he wants to see Jesus for whatever reason. I wonder whether the reason is because he has been isolated from life. He is lonely. He goes about his business, nobody likes him. Nobody speaks to him, nobody engages with him. They've probably seen him coming and mocked his height. And probably jostled and pushed him a little bit in that crowd because they could. So Zacchaeus climbs the tree. Jesus' mission was to come to seek and save the lost. Maybe you think, well, Zacchaeus wasn't really lost. He's wealthy. He's got a job. He's got a roof over his head. He's not lost. But he is lost, and Jesus knows that. So Jesus is actually coming through Jericho, and he comes to this tree. And maybe Zacchaeus thought he was a fair way up the tree. Nobody could see him. He had the advantage. But if you know Jesus, you know that Jesus knows where you are. You know that Jesus knows where you are more than just in the physical sense. Jesus knows this bit. He knows all about you. There is nothing about you that he doesn't know, whether that scares you or whether that's an encouragement for you. He knows you. So of course he stops at that tree that day, because he sees somebody who needs saving. He sees somebody who is lost. And his mission is to seek and save the lost. So he goes to see Zacchaeus. Perhaps there are a whole lot of other people in the crowd that day who probably thought they deserved to see Jesus. But it's not about what we think. It's about what Jesus sees and what he does. And he saw that the heart of Zacchaeus was actually open and ready to encounter him. Even though Zacchaeus didn't recognize that himself. You know what we did not read in this passage, and you can have a quick look just to see that I'm actually telling you the truth. When Jesus looked up into the tree, he knew his name, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus might have thought, oh my goodness, my reputation really does go before me because this guy knows my name. Or maybe he heard other people say his name. It's not about the name. It's about what Jesus didn't say to him. He didn't say, you're a cheat, you're a scoundrel, you're a robber, you're not worth anything. You need to go to the temple. Oh, that's right, you can't go to the temple to clean yourself up because you're not allowed to go in there to worship. He did not point the finger at Zacchaeus and throw all of those things out there that other people were saying about him. Jesus simply said, Zacchaeus, come down. I need to go to your house tonight. I need to be with you. The response of Zacchaeus is that he actually came down really quickly. He got out of that tree. And he came down. He didn't stay up there in the tree and go, oh my goodness, Jesus is talking to me. Oh, like my robes are all over the place because I'm sitting up in a tree. I've got to fix all that up. Or, oh no, who's going to find out that I actually cheat people and I take more than I should? And, Jesus, I can't actually come down out of this tree just yet. Maybe if you could come back tomorrow, then I've got time to make amends for some things, and then I'm actually going to be more worthy of you coming to spend time with me. He didn't do that. He came down straight away. If your house was on fire, would you say, fire brigade, 000 fire, but come tomorrow because I'm not quite ready? No. If you need an ambulance, would you ring 000 and say, come tomorrow? No. There are invitations in life or things that we need that we don't say, oh, tomorrow will do. And I want to say today that the invitation of Jesus is to you today. If you are hearing Jesus speak to you and he is saying, come, Sharon, come, come and spend time with me. I see your heart. You are worthy. I love you. If you're hearing those words, apart from the word Sharon, because there's no one else that's a Sharon in here, but if you're hearing those words, come, answer them straight away. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We respond straight away. Now, when Zacchaeus heard those words, he did jump down. He did come and stand there near Jesus. Everyone else muttered and grumbled and criticized and had a little chat on the side of their hand. Did you see who Jesus is going home to be with? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus isn't worthy of Jesus to go and spend time at his house. Doesn't he know who Zacchaeus is? But what did Zacchaeus do? What were the words that came out of his mouth as soon as he got down? They were words of repentance. He was changed. Jesus hadn't accused him, hadn't said to him, you need to do this, 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 and this. Whatever was going on in Zacchaeus' heart that led him to go and see Jesus or look for Jesus and go up in that tree, God was doing a work in Zacchaeus' heart so that when he got down, he actually said, I'm going to give away 50% of what I own to the poor. And out of the other 50%, I'm going to pay back people that I have robbed. And there was a minimum amount that he could have paid back. In Exodus, it talks about 20%, or if it's a robbery, double. Zacchaeus went above that, and he wanted to give four times the amount. Now, Zacchaeus didn't speak the words of repentance, so to speak. He didn't say, "I'm sorry, Lord, for all my sins, I'll never, never grieve thee more," which is what the chorus tells us. He actually showed by his actions that he was a changed man. His actions showed that. So when I read this story, I have a little think about it, because God's word is never just for information, for me to store up knowledge in my head. God's word is for transformation. And every time I open up the Bible and I read it, I need to say, "God, speak to me today through your word. Help me to see what I need to see about you. Help me to see what I need to see about myself today." So I thought about this and I thought, well, where am I in this story? And maybe these might be helpful questions for you. Where are you in this story? Because you're in it. You're in this story. Am I lost? You might look at me and go, "Well, no. You're wearing a Salvation Army uniform. So you've obviously been found by Jesus. And you're wearing red epaulets, which means you've become an officer in the Salvation Army, and you've given your life to full-time ministry. How can you be lost, Sharon?" Well, I can be lost when I don't listen to God, when I don't follow His will, when I don't make His mission my mission, when I am judgmental of others, when I am critical of what is happening in someone else's life that God might be doing, and I'm like, "Oh, gosh, how come God did that for them?" I can be lost. And this might be quite shocking for you. You can be lost too. And you may not even know it. So this story isn't just about people discovering and encountering Jesus for the very first time. It is, yes, for Zacchaeus. We don't actually read anything more about him. But it's significant that he was mentioned in the gospel, so obviously there was a change in his life. And I want to ask you today, what is the change that maybe you're resisting? Or maybe you did change when you first encountered Jesus. Maybe there was a difference in the way you behaved and acted. Maybe there was a difference in the fact that you said, "Yes, God, have all of me. Have control of all of me. I surrender all of me to you." But over time, you've allowed your life's circumstances or things that have happened to you, and you've taken back little bit by little bit control of your life. And you're really quite content and happy where you are right now. But I want to ask you, are you in the place that God wants you to be? Whether that's in your work, your family, Are you about the mission of Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost? In our response to this passage today, I want you to ask yourself, where am I? Where am I? The gospel message is an exciting message. It is life-saving. It changes lives. If you have heard the message of Jesus, if your life has been changed, then you are living in an exciting time of your life. If you've not heard the message of Jesus Christ before, I want to say to you that it's for you. He's not saying to you, clean up your life before I can actually come and be really close to you and spend time with you. He's saying, I'm coming to you right now because I want to be with you. I want to show you that I love you. I want to show you what life means. So we're going to have an opportunity to respond, and yes, we're going to have a song, and there's an opportunity for you to pray. The thing that I guess really challenged me for myself is, am I really about Jesus' mission? What does that look like in my life? And even though I might have said, I'm an officer of the Salvation Army and I have given my life to ministry, am I really doing that how God wants me to do that? So I want to ask you that too. What is your mission? Is it the mission of Jesus? In our space here, every Sunday, we always have the opportunity for people to encounter Jesus. Whether it's for the very first time, or whether it's for time number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Every day is a day of surrender to Jesus. Every day, Jesus wants to meet you. And we have that opportunity, and we do have a place in our church here that is called a place of prayer. And it's a place where you can encounter Jesus, where you can come and you can stand or you can kneel, you can pray by yourself, you can have somebody pray with you. Jesus sees you. Jesus wants you to be in relationship with him. He came to seek and save you. So as we sing, and the song is Come to the Altar, the words are you hurting and broken within? Are you overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling you. He doesn't say, clean it all up first of all, because I can't be in your presence until you're clean and perfect. He embraced the people that everyone else rejected. He sees you. He loves you. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave all your regrets. Leave the mistakes that you think you've made in life and perhaps you haven't made in life. I've made mistakes in life. Leave them. You don't have to drag them with you. You don't have to let them make you think that you're not worthy. Come to the altar. Bring your sorrow and trade it for joy. Find life, new life in Jesus. If he is calling you today to something more than what you currently are, answer him. Don't wait for tomorrow. Begin life today. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. In this world, there's a lot of rejection. There's a lot of criticism. There's a lot tells us that. And whatever is going on in our life, we may measure it and think we're not as bad as this. But if we are hearing Jesus calling us to himself, or calling us to something more, and we're not listening, then that is quite tragic. Because what he is calling us to is to life. He's calling us to something more than we see in ourselves. And it might look really, really different to what we've already known. Zacchaeus' life, he obviously grew up as a Jewish boy. He learned the scripture, the Torah. He learned all of that. If you were here a few weeks ago, we talked about when Jesus called his disciples to follow him. And Jewish boys were taught and learned scripture, and perhaps a rabbi would think them worthy enough to actually become the rabbi's disciple. And the disciples of Jesus didn't make that cut with the other rabbis. But Jesus called them to come and follow him, a rabbi, and to learn from him and his teachings how to change the world. For Zacchaeus, maybe he was in the same situation. And he ended up in an occupation that was quite lucrative, possibly wrong in how he went about it. But Jesus still came and saw him. And what he was, it was important to Jesus. I'm not saying that Jesus dismissed that. It was important to him. But the love of Jesus changed that for Zacchaeus to become a follower who stole, who now generously gave. God is in the transformation business. And he wants to transform you. And maybe you don't think you need any fixer-upper. Maybe you don't think you need any transformation. But God is in that business. And Jesus is calling. So I want to urge that you will listen to him. He calls you as you are. Brings about a change in who you are. I'm not saying that you're a bad person. He calls us as we are to make us into something more. I just want to pray for each one of us. Father God, today we've come into this space, and maybe there have been different reasons why we came today. But we were reminded at the very beginning that we came here to worship you. And worship is a whole lot of different things. But the essence of worship is about our heart and us responding to you and praising you and making sure that we are showing you that we love you, that we adore you, that you are worthy. It's not about us, although God, we do know that you came to seek and to save us. You came to seek and save us, to change us into your people. You came in to seek and save us, to give us life. thank you that my life was bought through the blood of Jesus, that his mission was to come and seek and find me, that he's been doing that for a number of years now, that when I get off track, he still comes and he seeks and he finds me. And for myself, I just pray, God, that I would be responsive to when I discover that I might be lost, that perhaps my attitude or my behavior or my thoughts or my words are not really reflecting who you are. Thank you, God, that you call us to be on mission with you as individuals and for us as a group of people, as the Salvation Army. God, may we be people that make the mission all about the lost, that we will go and seek people and help them to encounter Jesus. Help us, God, to follow you. It's your mission. Help us to follow you. I just want to thank you today, God, for the transformation that you do in each of our lives, for the transforming work of Jesus. And I pray, God, that each of us will be responsive to who you are and to what you are saying. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you go this week into whatever it is that you will do, take happiness with you. There are sometimes there are tears. Life isn't all perfect, but we take Jesus with us. We live a life that is worth the living. We have been forgiven. It might be a secret to some people out there, but tell them about Jesus. Jesus is who they need to encounter. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you throughout the week or speaking to you out the front.